Welcome, everybody, to Harmontown. It is now in session. Love him. Obey him. Do as he pleases. Welcome, the mayor of Harmontown, the Goblin King, Dan Harmon.
And left her feeling blue. What kind of magic spells to use? Smiles and snails and puppy dog tails, thunder and lightning, something sniffing bacon. Jump, jump, magic dance, magic jump, magic dance. Magic jump, 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 magic jump.
All right, I think I did everything.
You did it all. Welcome, everybody.
Here comes the flying baby. Baby's flying at you. There you go.
Well, what the podcast listeners won't know is that Dan Harmon and I are, and the various members of our Harmonian audience are dressed as Jareth tonight on an all labyrinth themed Harmontown.
Yes.
God bless you.
Check the website if you're out in the internet world. You know, just give it a cursory Googling or go to, I don't know, Harmontown.com's not up yet, but. You know, go somewhere and look at a photo of
a
us.
A very unusual bulge in your sweatpants.
It's realistically lateral. It's not. I in real life am of course a grower, not a shower, meaning I have a tiny penis that sort of recedes into a nipple above my giant ball sack. So what I did is I found a dog toy. That I kind of anchored.
The good news is this is being well photographed from the front row. So
it's kind of in a low slung twine harness.
Let's see the harness. Is that
what I've got? We'll be giving this and many other things away throughout the show. I'm not gonna express disappointment with the lack of Jareth. So what I will do is express joy and support for the Jareths that did show up. Let's stand up, Jareths. Be seen.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Oh, Black Jareth!
We have a Black Jareth.
NT said on Twitter that he wasn't going to have time, or you said you didn't have the money or to put into a Jareth costume. I said Harmontown would reimburse him because it's a special thing. It's like a social program. I was figuring there's a very good chance he'd be the only Black Jareth. So
what's good
it's
is
like
that,
a diversity like, program, like whatever that wig costs, whatever your gas costs. You know, let's see us after the show.
What's great is even a white Jareth gets into Tina Turner country. But
yeah, if NT and I switched wigs,
you'd still be
I'd be a Ramon, and he'd be Tina Turner. All right, so you know, let's not address this all night. Let's casually throw it over our shoulder.
Can we talk about the construction of your vest?
Well, if you want.
because from middle distance, if you squint your eyes, it's exactly the shape of the vest. I just want to know more about its backstory, its origin.
For those who are only listening, I went for Jareth and I arrived at a kind of a gay Han Solo. By buying a woman's windbreaker and cutting it into the precise shape of David Bowie's, what I would call his lead. He wears several outfits. He's like a male Barbarella. He wears several outfits in Labyrinth. You never see him in the same one twice. I'm sure that was in his contract. And one of them, and the one where he sings Dance Magic Dance, he's in kind of a leisure throne wear and kind of kicking back. And
I would say you nailed it. You got boots and everything.
Yeah. Well, I look closer. I didn't get actual boots. I got ladies' boots from Goodwill. Cut the tops of them off. because I couldn't find boots that would fit.
And put them over men's shoes.
Put like, them over my, so you, my you, Ben Stiller
you, you,
shoes.
You made labyrinth spats.
Yep. Labyrinth spats. Spats, labyrinth spats. Spats, labyrinth spats.
Put those magic spats on
I
me.
I saw my boots too small to fit my manly feet. What kind of Kmart prop to
now,
use?
Now, Dan, are you...
Jamba Juice lids glued into a sphere.
Are you a fan of the movie? Because I've only seen it about twice. And I've never... I only saw the ending today. It's a good ending because I always hated Sarah in it because she's kind of an unredemptive character until the bitter end of that thing. Like when she says, like, no, I don't want all my wishes to come true. I want to save the baby, right? Is that the idea?
Yeah, but, well, I'll tell you.
It's a lot of bickering.
As a professional storyteller, I'm really not allowed to like that movie. But as a moviegoer, as a fan of Hudson Hawk and Doc Hollywood, I understand that it's Erin McGathy's favorite movie. I wouldn't take that away from her. She has a passion for that movie that I would liken to people of my generation's passion for The Goonies, for instance.
Right.
I'm not saying Labyrinth people are a different generation. I'm just saying, like, I never watched that Labyrinth shit when I was a kid. It looked a little... I can't say fruity. That's homophobic. It just looked gay.
Yeah. Way to avoid fruity.
It looked like it was exercising its God-given right to get married, but to another movie with the same sexual organs.
But as an adult now, as a fan of David Bowie, which I was not when I first saw that movie, I didn't know Bowie. Knowing Bowie now, it's pretty cool. Because it's David Bowie going, oh, forget about the baby, Sarah.
It's cooler now than it was then to me. I mean, now it's cool. Now you wish that a bad movie should always be that good. Also, yeah. That should be a special note. I think, well, yeah, Time Bandits is a good example, too. Like Time Bandits is incredible. If you were to say, I don't like Time Bandits, there's guys that won't date you no matter how hot you are. Like, that's a deal breaker for them. They won't do it. Like, a beautiful woman walks up to them. The guy could have two heads and like an extra butt or something, and just have no chance of ever procreating. And then there's like a supermodel could walk up to him, and there's just people out there that she would say, I don't like Time Bandits. I prefer Kevin Smith Dogma. And there's people out there that are that passionate about Time Bandits that they would tell her to take a hike, take a beautiful hike. And I don't know if I would count myself in there. I'm too old to care what movies you like or don't like. Although if you said you like Dogma, I'd probably tell you to go fuck yourself. It's a slippery slope, like conversationally down the road. Like, what kind of shit am I going to have to listen to? If you think Dogma is a good movie, is it possible you're going to think my face is a sandwich? Am I going to wake up to you eating my face? It has nothing to do with taste in movies. I don't want to assert mine over years. I just want to make sure I don't get murdered because the disparity between Dogma and a good film is similar to my face and a fucking sandwich. There's that much difference happening.
Just move your hands away from your bulge. Give me a good profile there. Perfect. Sorry, I was just photographing.
Sarah, don't you know that magic is in my ball? I've seen it twice too.
It's a movie about a girl that doesn't like babysitting. She wishes her favorite curse.
She's a very unlikable protagonist.
She wishes a goblin to take the baby away for good because she hates babysitting. And then David Bowie comes in with an owl.
And he says,
I got your baby.
He says, you told me. I only did what you told me to do, Sarah. I took the baby. You have till 12 o'clock to try to get it back.
13 o'clock. Until 13 o'clock.
Goblin time.
Yeah, goblin time.
And then I don't know why. Well, we do know why he gives her a time limit because, and this is my problem with the movie, as he establishes in the third act, he's like, look, you created me. I just do whatever you want. That's like one of those movies where you're running from the vampire and somebody goes, wait, we have to have faith. We just have to stop being afraid. And then, it eats our fear.
And then she remembers.
I'm not afraid. Well, then I'll go home. Checking out on the monster clock. That's not a story.
Wait, is 40-year-old David Bowie falling in love with her, or is she falling in love with him, or both?
They're both. Well, he's a manifestation of her, so he's like a metaphor for her experimenting with the cucumber. I don't know. Like he's a 13-year-old girl's version of a man. So he looks like this.
Well,
a little better. He looks a little better. I wasn't fishing for salmon, so don't give me a boot. And coined a new colloquial phrase. Jim Henson is the star of Labyrinth, Ennio Morricone is the star of any. Wait, I'm getting that wrong. No, Ennio Morricone is the star of all the spaghetti. Wait, who's the guy that directed the spaghetti westerns?
Sergio Leone.
You see, Sergio.
But Ennio Morricone made the
Ennio
music.
Ennio Morricone is he's the real star of a lot of the spaghetti westerns. Like without the Morricone music, you know, what would some of those movies really be? Jim Henson is the star of Labyrinth. He's like he's doing some amazing things. Like there's a mouse riding a fucking pickle or something. And so like they did it by using a regular sized mouse, and then in the close ups, it's the pickle's got human feet coming out of it. I don't know. It's not my passion. It's not. I believe it's that stuff is a scam. That's Schraub shit.
I gotta tell you,
Schraub shit. Rob Schraub shit.
I'm looking at you, and that wig is almost Lonnie Anderson.
It's a little. It's 40% Lonnie, 60% Sammy, right? Hagar.
Sammy Hagar. Yeah, I can see that.
All right. So
CC DeVille.
Let's talk about race.
Let's talk about Hoggle, the swarthy little fellow that loves gold and jewelry.
Yeah, and like kind of bargains his way. Yeah, well, George Lucas knocked him off the map with weird Semitic desert bargainer.
In episode one.
In episode one. I was like, what can I do for you? You want your slave back? With my trick knee? This is a way to use the force? That was no good. And then
but Hoggle beat him to that punch, I would say.
Beat him to the punch, but then like no one remembers the first punch after. It's like a George Lucas chop to the...
Down goes Frasier.
Holy craps. Yeah, Labyrinth. Jim Henson. Good job, Jim Henson. Yeah?
He was? Aaron? Should we bring Aaron up?
Sure, let's bring Aaron up.
Aaron McGathy. It was her idea to all dress up as Jareth.
Labyrinth is Aaron's favorite movie.
She made us watch the movie. We all decided to dress up as Jareth. Let's hear it for Aaron McGathy's Jareth, everybody.
Aaron, tell us about George Lucas producing whatever you said.
George Lucas produced Labyrinth. End of fact.
All right. Well, thank you, Aaron. Aaron, will you conduct? Why don't you be a kind of Vanna White? No, all sexism aside. No, all sexism actually like bunched in and magnified. The kind of Vanna White our costume acknowledgement. I wouldn't even call it a contest. Let's just make sure. I feel like everyone's got a reasonable expectation of a brief 15 seconds of stardom if they put on some eyeshadow and a wig tonight.
There's at least one person out there that looks exactly like Jareth from the movie Labyrinth.
By the way, Jeff, we haven't acknowledged for the podcast listeners that Jeff is wearing what looks like a $50,000 Jareth costume. It's not really a costume. It's just Jareth. He went out and commissioned people's help, and he looks kind of like he's a passable David Bowie in the first place.
Well,
so with the eyeshadow and the wig, he looks like if this was a Labyrinth reunion, and you said like Jareth's stunt double's here.
It should be said that the three of us watched this movie because I really wanted them to see it, and I don't know, but like the idea of us dressing like Jareth came up, and Jeff was really enthusiastic about it. And right. I think that's because he knows.
Because it was in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. That's like when, if people are doing karaoke and they say, oh, the thing's broken. We can only use one of the CDs. I go, like, oh, I don't know. Use the George Michael one. I don't know.
Right.
He's in my vocal register.
You do a pretty good George Michael.
Oh, well, I guess it would be nice.
Yeah, there is one time when the three of us were at karaoke, and Dan was singing George Michael, and I turned to Jeff to say something, and Jeff was like, Dan singing. Dan singing George Michael.
Yeah.
Your boyfriend singing. I'm so sorry. But yeah.
Are you sure that? Are you sure he said your boyfriend singing?
He said our boyfriend singing.
You guys look like 2/4 of an awesome 80s band.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, we just came back from our bass player's funeral. He put a 2-liter bottle of heroin up his ass and exploded.
Alack.
I don't know how heroin Just works sitting. like Mentos, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's hear it for our chorus of Jareths.
Chorus of Jareths.
Chorus of Jareths.
This episode of Harmontown is brought to you by Fulton and Rourke. Jeff, you're sick of spilling all your colognes all over the place. You hate liquid colognes. Is that correct?
It's my nemesis. It's the thing that gives me nightmare dreams all night long.
I can't remember how many times I've walked in on you just covered in sticky, wet cologne.
I have traveled and broken a bottle of the cologne that I wear, and then my luggage smells like a French whorehouse for the rest of time.
Yeah. But Fulton and Rourke is a men's fragrance and grooming company that specializes in solid colognes, shave, and shower products, all designed to make getting ready easier and more enjoyable.
Now, when you say solid colognes, do you mean like solid in the jazz sense? Like, wow, that jazz solo was solid.
You know, I do mean that, but I also mean physically solid as well.
Oh, like you're talking about a wax-based cologne that travels in a little small package that I can't spill all over my luggage and smell like a Mexican tit house. So these are travel-friendly, wax-based colognes that can go anywhere?
Plus, there's nothing to break or spill, and of course, they all smell fantastic.
Fantastic.
Like a Mexican tit house.
I mean, there's different levels of Mexican tit house. I mean, there's the high-quality ones, there's the ones that you wish you didn't go to.
Right.
Yeah.
Titas Fantasticos.
Is one of their fragrances called Mexican tit house?
Yeah.
Que fantastico.
Fulton and Rourke's bar soap is designed to exfoliate the skin with or without a washcloth.
Also, you don't even have to touch it. It comes and does it in the night.
Well, that's amazing. That's literally unbelievable.
Did you know, Spencer, that GQ magazine just named their shave cream the very best on the market today?
Well, yeah, of course I knew that. Why would you ask?
I mean, who am I asking? I mean, this guy, you go to his house, it's like an episode of Hoarders. So many back issues of GQ magazine there.
Right, and I got to tell you, my house is made out of bricks of cologne.
Wax-based cologne, I hope.
Yeah, yeah.
Try it yourself at FultonandRourke.com and save 15% off your purchase by using the code FERAL, F-E-R-A-L, at checkout.
That's FERAL at checkout.
Smell good for once, you fucking bums.
Fulton and Rourke, get your smelling good.
Fulton and Rourke, time to get your stink on.
Off.
Get your bad stink off and get your good stink on.
Fulton and Rourke.
Not by Menon. Different corporation.
By Fulton and Rourke.
Good job, Harmontown. This is a town to be proud of.
Well, do you want to do a little thing? Resetting.
We could be pretty proud of that turnout.
Now,
Jareth, that's pretty good. I guess I implied that not enough people dressed as Jareth at first, but then 20 people got up here. That was Jareth, great.
I mean, it's my fervent wish that all the Jareths, whichever among you can, that we all go to a bar afterwards and all take over a bar dressed as Jareth. Everyone's invited, but I want to see 14 Jareths walk into a bar and then let the joke write itself.
Probably pretty easy to make that the drawing room, right?
Yeah, let's make it
the
drawing room.
See the look on Mario's face?
LA's premier shithole, the drawing room.
Yeah, Harmontown is kind of unofficially sponsored by the drawing room. Guests of Harmontown, remember to tie your shoes before you go to the men's room.
Yeah,
if you tie them after, yeah. Hep C.
Yeah. The drawing room, where if you drop your keys, you get to walk home because some sort of vermin will steal your car. It's you don't want to touch anything you drop at the drawing room.
Yeah,
it's
there was a carpet there once, and they never tore it up, but it's not there anymore.
Yeah. They just let it go. They just let people walk it all the way off.
Yeah.
There were a couple little tufts like near the booths, and they finally some guy went with like a putty knife and got like the last little vestiges of the carpet there. There's a guy that goes there, and his name is Henry, and he's a lovely, lovely old dude. And he's been there. He's gone there forever. And I remember going there maybe 10, 12 years ago, and not cynically, I just thought, this guy's probably he's not going to be around much longer. He's old and he drinks a lot and we might be getting the last of Henry. He's still with us and he looks exactly the same. He's going to outlive us all. I didn't know this, but he has a glass eye, and I wasn't there, but one time he was there in the daytime and he coughed or sneezed and the couple people at the bar heard ting 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 ting, and his eyeball had shot across the bar and then landed on the bar mat, like down on the ground there, which is even grosser possibly than the carpet that was still there at the time. And the bartender, and he was like looking around for it, and he doesn't know where it's at. And the bartender picked it up, washed it off, and gave it to him, and he went, and put it right back in. That's a good bar.
Yeah.
That's my kind of shit. It's a bar so vile that hipsters will never take it over.
The gauntlet's been thrown down.
And one of the few bars that boasts a women's room that smells worse than a men's room.
I've only been in the women's room once, but that men's room, holy tamale.
Yeah, there's bugs in there that don't exist. Outside of the men's room at the drawing room.
Yeah, Dino has a weird theory about that. Like, there's bugs that fly in your face when you're standing at the urinal, and he thinks that the reason they're there is because of the pee that is on the wall, because you can never hit the urinal because there's bugs in your face. So he thinks it's a whole biosphere that the... It's like an amazing Darwinian evolution that like these bugs have evolved. Like, no, they don't know, but the same way, like, there's birds that drop walnuts into traffic so that the cars crack the walnuts and then they eat the nut meat. These bugs, they literally live for one day. So like last 30 years of the drawing room, people peeing has been like a millennia to them.
Yeah.
So you bet it's a possibility.
There used to be doors in there, but the bar opens at 6 a.m. and it boasts cocktail lounge open at 6 a.m. And so I think a lot of druggies were going in there, and so the doors are now off there, so you can't go in there and do drugs. But now it's turned into this weird kind of like men's shower. Like, the whole thing has been designed so when people puke or pee all over the place, because they will clean the bathroom there, it'll be spick and span, and 10 seconds later there is a 3-foot like a 3-point line of piss around the thing. Like you can't get close to it, and then it's just receding because now no one wants to step in the pee.
Right.
So now people are progressively peeing farther away.
Everyone thinks they can hang from the rafters and be the cleanest monkey to get out of the drawing room bathroom.
So then it's just this exponential piss cycle that goes on there. So they designed the whole thing now where they have a thing they hook up, which is like a car wash, where they just go in and steam the whole thing down.
Yeah.
And they just rinse the whole thing down, and then it's, you know, shiny and new, and then 10 seconds later...
Well, because the more they do that, it's the broken window theory in New York, you know, the pre-Giuliani whole thing was the idea of the neighborhoods have a tipping point. If you're walking down a street, it's covered with garbage and all the windows are broken. Like, you'll break a window. You don't give a shit. If you walk down a pristine street, there's that sort of... I don't think it's that gallant of us. I think we're just afraid to be the first person. I think it's just sort of like cowardice. And you can see it in European bathrooms. I swear, I went to Europe for the first time a couple of years ago, and I was just marveling. I was like I went to dive bars. The bathrooms were still a little cleaner than the dive bars in America. And my girlfriend at the time said that her theory was that Americans are more germophobic too. So we tend to try to take shits and pees without touching anything, and we end up making everything worse, and the cycle continues. Whereas Europeans are like, hey, it's my butt. It's your butt. I don't know what we're both from Transylvania. Touch our butts to the same piece of plastic.
There were paper towels covered in shit in the women's bathroom once at the drawing room.
There were what covered in shit?
Paper towels.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean...
Like, coming out of the dispenser? Like, they came pre-shit on? Nothing would surprise me there.
There's a trash can next to the toilet, and there were paper towels covered in shit. Sorry, guys.
Aaron, are you, tell a ghost story or something. Or else it's weird that you're up here, right?
Well, Jeff told me to sit down.
No, I know. Yeah, or he told you to sit down.
Yeah.
I said pull up a chair.
So you sat
down. It was her idea. We're dressed as Jareth because of Aaron.
I know that. I'm not doubting her value to humanity. I don't want her to be uncomfortable sitting up here like Robin Givens or something. Robin Givens. Robin Quiver? What's the Howard Stern lady?
Yeah, Howard Stern psychic.
Sorry. I'll edit that out, I'll seem witty. I don't care.
Can you do a ghost story off the cuff?
Yeah.
All right.
Do you guys know the...
Can we lower the lights?
Yeah, hang on.
This is the only ghost story I know.
Is it about what sleeping with me is going to be like tonight?
I'm just going to tell the only ghost story I know. Yeah, and I'm not sure if I remember it. Once upon a time in a town very close to this one, maybe it was Oxnard, which is further away, for 6 hours from this town, in Oxnard, in a field. Sorry, I'm trying to remember the story. Okay, so there was this man, this old man, who never talked to anyone for years and years and years and years. And after his wife died. Oh, there's a man and his wife died. And then he never talked to anyone for years and years.
Aaron McGathy, everybody. Thank
all
you.
Right, all right.
Thank you.
Whoa.
God, that was...
Imagine that happening.
That was horrifying. I thought for a minute that story was going to go somewhere.
No. Jeff, you won't watch the movie Halloween, will you?
No, that movie fucked my shit up, man.
The original Halloween. Jeff.
I had a fucking babysitter. When did that movie come out? 77? 8?
79.
Okay, so I was born in 73. I was, what, 6-ish? I had a babysitter, Megan O'Sullivan. Megan, if you're out there, go fuck yourself. Because she took me... Because I saw Jaws on her watch, and I couldn't go into a pool for years. And then
well,
I saw...
Well, you know what they say. Fear is the best pacifier. Yeah, I just figured Megan O'Sullivan as a... Yeah.
You're doing a real dialect class tonight, man.
Please, continuing story, comrade.
Oh, thank you.
I'm like Robin Williams.
I remember being... I don't know how movies worked back then. Like it wasn't like... it was just pre-VHS, but somehow we had Halloween at our house... And I couldn't have been more than 6 or 7 years old. And we watched that, and that movie really screwed me up. And I had, like, because the thing about, what's his name, Michael Myers?
Yeah.
The thing about him is he's supernatural because as soon as you look away, he's there. You know, he moves like a ghost. He just happens, like you turn your head and he sits up on the couch. And it's scary. Like, he's got that ghostly inside-out William Shatner mask, and it's freaky. And I was just too young to watch it. I don't think it would have scared me if I watched it when I was 15, because no other movies scare me at all. When I was 18 years old, my friends were having a party, and they're like, "We're going to watch scary movies." I'm like, "What are you watching?" They go, "We're going to watch Halloween." I'm like, "You know what? I'm 18 years old. I'm an adult. I'm in college. I'm gonna watch this shit." And fucking 3 more months of looking over both shoulders, like turning the light off when you go to bed, and then turning it back on again. And I turn it off and turn it on again. And dive into the bed, like for real. I was a grown man, and I won't watch it. And even like when it's on, like those commercials for it, and I see that mask, it's like I just like it just represents me looking over my shoulder. Like I was too young for that.
I don't think there's anything that scares me like that. I just don't like those modern horror movies. Modern, like now it's probably like 20 years old, but like Event Horizon is a perfect example of one of these. You're laughing because I said modern when I was talking about Event Horizon. I rented it at Blockbuster. That's new.
What is Event Horizon about? I've never heard of it.
It's about a spaceship
like
that can go faster than the speed of light, but it turns out when you go faster than the speed of light, you go through hell. Because time stops or whatever. Hell being defined as whatever ookie bookie, like whatever thing, you know, your greatest fears or regrets or dead wives. Or so everybody aboard the ship, of course, has I lost a popsicle once, and then they see a popsicle. It's a dumb movie, but this is the thing about modern horror, as opposed to John Carpenter's stuff. Let's pop the champagne. John Carpenter just fucking the masters of horror in the back. We'll never be dethroned, boys.
John Carpenter goes into every location with some champagne in case someone mentions it.
Just in case. He's wasted 6 hours this week watching Jonah Ray stand up and just waiting.
That champagne's so hot and flat. Not even worth drinking right now.
He goes to the Super Bowl. He's just holding it the whole time.
God, this Patton Oswalt guy goes on forever. Well, just say something about me, John Carpenter. Let me pop this fucker. It's from 1948. The Event Horizon, these new horror movies, as I call them, The thing is that they go like you know, the guy will be looking in the mirror in his medicine chest. He's brushing his teeth, and then he'll close the medicine chest door. Oh, and you're expecting to see a thing? No, you don't see a thing. And he's like looking in the mirror, and then it just hard cuts to like a you know, different lighting of a woman with blood streaming down her face, and it just goes. Ah! It's not fear. That's startling.
Yeah.
That's just a thumbtack on your chair. That doesn't count. I don't like that. I don't like being startled in a movie. You could do that. That doesn't take any craftsmanship.
How old were you when you first saw Labyrinth, Aaron?
Ooh, thanks so, for cheering for age. I was six,
yeah.
Seven.
Did it scare you?
The first scene in the bedroom.
There's a scene that seems pretty scary for kids in the beginning, yeah.
Yeah. The scene
I noticed
in the,
that as the writer of Monster House. I have a keen eye for this stuff. I wrote a movie that...
Pop! No, every time my friend mentions his own movies, I pop champagne.
Kids get scared pretty easily, little kids. Even in this post horse dick internet world of they've seen everything, little kids still get scared.
PhD. post horse dick.
After Labyrinth, nothing was post dick because it's just. Bulge, and he's bouncing an infant on just a rigid codpiece the entire time. It's really horny. He's older than I am in that movie, right? How old is Bowie in that movie? He's got to be older than 39, right?
I don't know.
But and he's coming on to like what 15-year-old woman?
14. She's 14.
Yeah.
But he's her fantasy, and
he's her fantasy.
Yeah. Yes. Also, he's. I watched the behind the scenes documentary again today, and
it's Monday. tomorrow's vitamin day.
I'm gonna watch vitamins all day tomorrow. So Bowie's talking about the Goblin King, and he says, "Well, he doesn't choose." To have her there. He's reluctant, but then he's forced into this world. Like, his explanation was nothing that I think anyone has ever thought. Like, he sat down with Jim Henson. Jim Henson's like, yeah, fine. That's your explanation. That the Goblin King doesn't want to be the Goblin King, but because he's there, he may as well do a good job. And right.
So
and
that's, you know.
But yeah, Jennifer Connelly was 14.
To me, that the Goblin King spends most of his time hanging out in a dungeon with 50 asshole puppets.
Yeah. Hey, well, now you know why. Because half of the movie was written by a fucking guitarist.
For real?
I'm just saying, you want a good story, don't go to, you know, David Bowie.
David Bowie didn't write the story. Terry Jones wrote the movie.
He came up with the character, motivation. That's the thing about the movie that doesn't make any sense to me. There's no stakes, we call them, you know, as we say it at Denny's and in writing. There's, you need stakes.
Back to time bad.
Who is the biggest Labyrinth fan out here? Who, other than Aaron, does someone think that they're a bigger Labyrinth fan than Aaron? John Carpenter.
It's BJ.
Oh my God, it's John Carpenter. Come on up here, John Carpenter.
Yeah, we got John Carpenter's in the house.
Oh, BJ.
Wow.
You're looking very French.
A surprise special. No, it's John Carpenter.
Wait, I don't know what's really.
John Carpenter.
Wait, what are we talking about? Labyrinth?
You're going to stick up for Labyrinth, yeah.
One, humans and puppets together. But real, not like the Muppets.
Wait.
Two.
No, exactly like the Muppets. It's exactly like the Muppets. They're both as real as each other.
No, but the Muppets are actors. So, two, you've got...
Oh, I see. Oh, the Muppets are playing actors?
It's not like the Larry Sanders Show. They're not...
Well, it kind of is. It's kind of behind the scenes.
John Carpenter, do you mean that
yes.
there are little people that are playing the puppets? Is that what you mean? Like it's different? And that, nope.
No. I'm saying Fozzie Bear, right? Kermit, Miss Piggy, Animal's in a band, so he's a musician, but they're actors. They're not.
Oh, they're actors on the Muppet Show.
Yeah, so like when you see them like, oh, we got to get to New York or whatever, it's like, yeah, because you're actors.
Oh, so there's so
you're,
more,
you're saying that as an everyman, which you obviously are, you find it less relatable to watch a showbiz show.
There's more verisimilitude when the puppets are goblins. That when puppets are actors, that's crazy.
In the behind-the-scenes documentary, Jim Henson is talking about why he wanted to make the movie. And him and Terry Jones say, like, well, like, we just wanted to make a movie again with puppets and people that's like Dark Crystal, but fun. And goblins, maybe. Like, it was such a loose idea. And so great that then it became such a great movie.
I was sitting at the Pikey, the bar a couple blocks up the street, as here on Sunset Boulevard, as I do every Harmontown, and I was sitting there by myself at the bar. I was a little out of place on a Monday. It's not it's 2 days before Halloween. It's not a weekend. Nobody else was in costume. Right. I mean, if I had gone to the Rainbow Room, I would have been just every other guy in there.
Yeah, you know, some chick dressed as a cat would have given you a hand job. You would have been fine.
Yeah,
like everybody would have been, oh man.
But also, it's Hollywood. It's near Halloween. People can dig it, and no one's giving me any business. But there's one guy sitting next to me. He's like two stools down. And he's like, yeah, I fucking hate Hollywood. You know, I live downtown, you know. Downtown, Hollywood's kind of anathema to me. I don't go to Hollywood. Hollywood's kind of bullshit. I mean, I'm here right now, but I'm kind of slumming it. You know, I live downtown, you know. I rode my bicycle here. I'm a bicycle guy, you know. And he looks over at me and he goes, huh, yeah, I loved you in Dark Crystal, man. So anyway.
I don't know where to begin analyzing that. Yeah. Like my
indignation was more righteous than any other time in my life.
He thought you were just hanging out at the Pikey dress.
No,
like
I know.
That.
I think he's just a douchebag who thinks he's a know-it-all, and
he was just on a flow.
He has to put his fingerprint on everything around him.
He just moved downtown, so he's like, holy shit, I know everything.
Also, I ordered. I said, I'll have a Sam Smith lager and a Fernet Branca. He said, oh man, I love Fernet Branca. Man, I live in San Francisco for a while. Yeah, Fernet Branca. He was trying to engage me, but I let my wig like be my earmuffs, and I just my collar be my cocoon, and I just igloed myself in, and because I'm, you know, in my wig and my boots, I'm 9 feet tall in this costume, and he was a little shrimpy fucker, and he was just trying to affect everybody in the goddamn bar, which is the worst, because he just
broke up with his girlfriend and he re-IKEA'd the missing stuff from in his loft.
Well,
like, he filled in all her missing spots.
He was sitting in a bar in Hollywood trying to talk about how uncool Hollywood is, which, look, there's a case for that. Hollywood kind of blows in lots of ways. There's also good things about Hollywood. For instance, Harmontown, for one.
That's in Hollywood.
And the Nerdist.
For the time being, that's
theater.
In Hollywood.
And
until such time
comics.
As it can get emancipated.
Yeah, absolutely. But this guy was just like, every time anybody ordered a drink, he had to like weigh in on it. And he took a lot longer to
Two olives, nice. Dirty up.
Ooh, olives.
If a bat olives, flew into his face, he'd be like, fruit bat, nice. It doesn't drink blood. A lot of people don't know that. He's just a hip Cliff Clavin.
He was. Cliff Clavin. Cliff Clavin had information. This guy was just, I don't like that. I know about it. I've heard about it. I don't like it. I'm above that. But then he waited way longer to weigh in on me, because I think he had to wait a half hour to hear me finally order a drink and to hear that I wasn't going to sound like David Bowie. Because I heard like, oh, don't be cruel to me. I'll be cruel to you if you don't give me a... If I'd ordered my drink,
Sarah,
like, you have no idea. Don't forget about the baby. If I'd have committed to that, I don't think he would ever have fucking turned me like turned to me at all. But I was like, oh yeah, when you get a chance, I'll have a. You forgot my glass. Remember me over here? I was, you know, I was being.
I'm a grape knee high.
And then he was like, yeah, nice job in Dark Crystal, bro. And then he just fucked off to the bathroom like that. Like it was like a slam dunk and mic drop, and he went off to the thing.
Chris Rock to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Spencer, you better get up here and set up your gear.
Oh, shit. Spencer, everybody, our dungeon master.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Dan, can you, or both of you, can you guys quote Labyrinth a little more? Your quotes are just like a degree off.
What's the one he goes, shit. He's a...
Sarah.
Don't defy me, Sarah. There's I've been very generous, but I can be very cruel. Something like that? Close? Yeah?
It kind of tells you, it's like he's written by a... Like instructions for a Wii game. It's just sort of... Like he just sort of says things the way they are.
Aaron,
like in kind of a long-winded way.
Yeah.
Most Sarah, people, you most didn't know dialogue. That imagination had things in store for you? I mean, he doesn't really say anything. It's like
most of the dialogue is her muttering to herself because she's walking around half alone yeah. in a labyrinth.
I will applaud them not having a voice.
It's not fair.
It's so hard to get through this labyrinth.
You know what I should do? I should stop walking to the labyrinth the way I'm walking to the labyrinth.
Well, if you do that, then you won't know which way you're going.
What are you, a wall person?
Well, you could call me an earth butterfly, but I call myself a butterfly earth.
But that's not fair.
No, fair is in the eye of the beholder. I'm poking my eye out and holding it around.
I hate you.
Well, hate means love here.
But that's not fair.
Oh, but soup tastes bad. The sky is pee.
Oh, but it was me. It was me the whole time. I was the earth butterfly the entire time.
No. So.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, worst.
Well, then I choose to not listen to you.
Well, but that's not your choice to make. I'm afraid I'm going to turn the clock into a calculator and subtract 2.
No, you can't do that.
Oh, but, okay. But can't
I? I want to be a good babysitter, okay?
Yeah, but didn't the first, the opening act of this movie start with you hating babysitting?
But I don't mean it anymore. I changed my mind.
This is a realm where nothing means anything, Sarah.
I'd like
then
to say...
you don't mean anything.
Wait, what? No, stop. No, stop saying that.
You don't mean anything.
Stop saying
this
that.
This whole movie
stop
didn't
saying.
Matter.
Oh.
1, 2, 3, Bumblebee. The whole house is back to normal, and the baby's here. Now there's 2 babies, and there's Muppets in my room, whatever the fuck, including the ones that were tried to rip my fucking head off, technically speaking, and the ones who tried to impale me with pikes.
I was so flattered. My heart was so warmed when you guys wanted to dress up. Like
we wanted to talk. It's an intervention, Aaron. We all dressed as Jareth tonight because we knew it was the only way you'd come.
This movie has story problems.
it's no monster house.
We couldn't.
I mean, where is the revelation that the whole thing is because a fat lady died? Where's the point in the story that Joseph Campbell calls for where after they get barfed up by the monster and they have tea for a fucking hour?
Haven't seen it.
I'm grinding some axes about a movie no one's seen.
Yeah, it's not the best movie, but the thing is, I like it. I like watching it. However, I can't get through the motherfucker. I can't
Labyrinth?
Make it to. I cannot make it to the end of Labyrinth.
Well, but
because
it's
just too much. I can't live
within you.
Do 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 do. You are my eyes and heart. Go.
When he's walking on the MC Escher staircase,
you know I sing things that aren't melodies. Gingong, gingong.
Can we talk about Time Bandits?
Talk all you want. You'll just get lynched by nerds after the show. Your car will be spray painted Yoko.
Well,
I'm not saying it's fair.
My tattoo.
all those beetle loving nerds out there.
I enjoy Time Bandits, but to me, Time Bandits is and it's written by another member of Monty Python. It's the same thing, or the same weird themes. It's the same like anti-parent fantasy.
No,
strange jumble, and you love that movie.
It takes more than theme to make a movie. I'm saying is
you.
That Labyrinth isn't Citizen Kane. I will say the same about Time Bandits, and I will say the same about thing about Goonies. I think that Back to the Future has reasonably tight structure, and a lot of our favorite movies don't. I like a lot of what we love about movies are the actors and their performances, and mm-hmm. and especially like the emotional. I'll use the word gestalt. Not knowing what it means, that kind of like, especially when we're kids, like we don't even watch movies the same way. We don't experience a story like really the same way. We kind of like, you know, we just sort of see images and kind of feel feelings. And
well, and I mean, name another movie. Maybe I'm wrong, but name another movie.
Used Cars.
Beethoven.
Problem
used
Child 2.
Used Cars. You did not name. Is that a movie?
Yeah, it's a Robert Zemeckis movie.
Okay, all right. Robert Zemeckis opens a can of Coke.
With Kurt Russell.
name another movie where there, because there are several movies.
Silver Streak.
God damn it. There are several. I love that we're all dressed as
The Great Train Robbery.
Name another movie.
Check you a Pelham 102.
To my knowledge, there aren't any other movies that are starring a... Now, granted, like, David Bowie acted in other movies, but in this movie, he is a rock star. He wrote all the songs. I can't think of another movie where there is a musician who gives such an amazing performance, and also the songs are great.
Every Elvis movie.
Purple Rain.
Purple Rain.
By the way,
I don't know if you know this, I dressed as Prince in Purple Rain today.
Yeah, I was going to say, change wigs with Enty and be a fucking kick-ass...
I didn't finish...
Your weekend lover!
I didn't finish the sentence. With puppets. Is there a puppet in Purple Rain?
He uses it to passive-aggressively shut down Wendy or Lisa.
In your face!
Well, Wendy can go fuck herself.
I think I'm speaking for many women and many gay-leaning men that David Bowie. He taught me how to sex. I don't know. He like taught me like that. Like,
did he teach you how to conjugate?
You remind me of the sex. Who do conjugate? You do? I conjugate. Sex conjugate with who? With
Agri
you.
I
saw my baby.
I learned how to do things. Not.
I Yoda talk.
I was using bad grammar to be poetic. He taught me how to sex.
He made you so horny you became Native American. He Tatanka, my fallopian tubes.
Yes.
I'm making it more important than it was, I guess. You're just so handsome.
No, it's not. There's no debate. I mean, there's obviously a contention raging, but in America we have a problem. I think this is the infantilization of America. We've been raised through countless generations now to think that this is how we express our personalities and that we're either right or wrong, like that we have favorite movies and movies are good or bad and we argue about them. You can see that reflected in the politics too. It's like we're being had. I mean, you're allowed to think of how.
Sorry,
that's on top of my dick. You just did the same thing as if this ball was on the end of that microphone and you malleted dick with it.
I'm sorry.
There's a dick there. It's not...
Sorry.
It's within her right to, when you are gainsaying which, her opinion, to attack your cock.
I'm very sorry.
She's been very generous, Dan, but she can be very cruel. You can forget about your penis.
But I told you I want my penis.
Yeah, but why don't you tell it to the hand holding the crystal? Because the crystal doesn't understand.
Okay, fine. Hand holding crystal. I want my penis.
Those are the words. You got the words wrong.
This isn't fair. It's not fair.
You keep saying that, don't you? I don't like fairness. Do-do-do-do.
Hate this movie.
It's not the best. I tried to watch that fucker. I was putting my makeup together. I'm doing screen captures. I'm like, this movie, fucking, this scene goes on forever.
It's a labyrinth.
Yeah. Because I chose Ballroom Bowie. They don't show this fucking costume once. Like, there's a couple of, he spins by. There's a guy. It's all this like Eyes Wide Shut masquerade shit going on. It's like,
beautiful.
Show me the costume. Show me the costume.
Show me the costume.
Yeah.
Well, that would have made it a good movie if everyone could see the costume more.
Show me some Bowie.
All right, Spencer Crittenden's friend. We got a boogeyman. We did it again. We fucking harmoned it. I swear. You know, I guess the same number of people come every week, but I just live in constant fear of everyone catching on that this is just a big waste of their time. And I guess there's gonna be a night when we walk in and it's just, no one's gonna show up. Did you ever see? Yeah, there was a. I don't want to get off on any tangents tonight. And that's so dumb that I forced that as to my catchphrase. It wasn't originally. I heard myself say it the eighth time, and I thought it was funny.
You become Jack Benny.
Yeah.
There was a
Rochester.
There was a documentary about chimps. I don't know if I ever talked about that. They showed how chimps don't really have cooperation in their spirit. I mean, they do for problem solving, but only if the alpha male gets to eat. And they put a board, and they were these ropes, and then the alpha male comes in and he pulls one side of the board, and he notices the rope will go all the way through the other side of the board. So he'll unlock the fence that contains the beta males, and they'll come in and help him pull the board together, and then they all get to share the food. But if they only put food on in the middle of the board, the alpha male will eat it all. And then after that, the beta male, when the alpha male opens the door and says, "Hey, come on, help me move the food," the beta male will go, "Fuck you, not helping. You're a dick.
But Dan,
like you're a chimp. I'm a chimp. Fuck you,
Dan. That's not fair."
And what we've learned from Labyrinth is life's not fair. I don't know. Ticket prices aren't fair. I live in fear of the audience learning that lesson. They're gonna come and like they're gonna go, "Here, $10 for Harmontown, please. Right this way." Sit down. What are you doing here on a Monday night? I don't know. I gotta fucking finish my thesis tomorrow. I'm writing about contemporary racism and. Something. It's important. I'm gonna be somebody, but I just don't want to miss anything important. And I, ladies and gentlemen, it's Harmontown. Welcome, Dan Harmon. Hey, fat, I masturbate all over everything. I'm drunk again. I'm so sorry for myself. I hate myself. You should give me a high five for that. I'm gonna take a shit on stage. Oh, it's makeup. My face smells like shit. Good night. Off on a broomstick through the roof. Huh. Well, that only took 2 hours. Time to drive home to Reseda.
Does anybody here have anything pressing tonight they have to get back to? Wait, what person? You?
I have to draw animals in human clothes.
That's the best audience in the world.
Like, we have to repeat it because
he said I got ... I have to draw animals in human clothes. He lilted up at the end like it was a question in human clothes, like kind of like a valley affectation, but also kind of like, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Half of you are animators. Sometimes you're working in that department.
We all have our version of animals and human clothes that we have to draw.
Is that your stumbling block? Is the human clothes on the animals that's throwing you?
It's between the two. Sometimes the animals are tough.
Also, is there a difference between human clothes and animal clothes? Inhuman clothes?
Scale.
Wait, so you're saying like you have to draw a badger, he's swimming in a t-shirt?
If we're going to interrogate him, he has to come up. I mean, audience isn't mic'd. He's got to come
Spencer.
Up.
How about this?
Can you come up?
Can we incorporate him into our D&D? Are we do a quick D&D thing and make him an ancillary character?
Yeah, so that way tomorrow, then if life works the way movies work, then tonight you're going to draw, your pen's going to be alive. Because you're like somehow the there were animals in human clothes in the game, and then come on up. Well,
spirit.
Yeah.
What's your name, sir?
Michael. I'm here because of Spencer.
Oh no shit. Well, that a nice segue. Let's welcome Spencer, our dungeon master. Spencer. Spencer, get us up to date.
Last time on Dragon Ball Z. After swiftly and cleverly infiltrating Darkstar's stronghold, Sharpie and the gang were faced with a sinister staircase. Riding the confidence of their second level, they charged the stairs and into the Darkstar's clutches. Little did the Dark Lord know that they would be facing the newly acquired powers of our heroes. After a dramatic showdown, Admiral Darkstar reverted to a demonic form and escaped from another dimension. To another dimension. There they stood, in the ziggurat with Karen Broadleaf, a prisoner and member of the Butzalot tribe.
Oh, that's right. We met a girl who's from my tribe, right. back in the realm of butts. All right.
All right.
Character sheets dispensed?
Yeah.
Dispensered? I think we, if nothing else, we've found our new theme music for our D&D.
Certainly for character dispensation.
Thank you.
The character sheets are being dispensed right now. These characters are level 2. They've leveled up. They are now level 2.
Dan, don't defy me.
Sharpie Butzelot, you've come so far in your adventures.
I feel so deceived.
Deception is like soup, Sarah. It happens every day.
But I hate soup.
Then you'll have to have a fork.
Wait, he wants me to eat soup with a fork.
A fork is just a spoon with slots in it, Sarah. It doesn't matter now.
Give me the baby.
The baby or you?
You're bad people.
You want my Bowie ball. Filled with such charms.
You guys keep on speaking in metaphors.
Take care of the baby, Bowie ball. Deep in your arms, babe.
I examine my surroundings.
You're standing in the second floor of the dark ziggurat. As you look, you notice that the green emerald dagger you held in your hand not moments before is now floating in the air, spinning slowly.
Oh, shit.
It's emanating a green energy. Energy that feels natural, as if it's from the forest itself. The ziggurat shudders and begins to crumble with you inside.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Magic flight. Let's get out of here. That's not a spell. That's a Joseph Campbell term.
Do we take that dagger or no?
Well, yeah, it's floating. I mean, it's yours.
I grab the dagger.
You grab the dagger and it shines with a great green light. A burst of energy is released throughout the forest.
Yes, I love energy.
Do you continue fleeing?
I have a green dagger, you know, Sharpie. Don't defy me. Oh, you can forget about the dagger.
We flee. We flee.
You manage... Well, let's roll, actually.
Uh-oh. Forgot about that part.
You manage to escape the ziggurat. You stumble and fall, but catch yourself.
I do one of those moves where you kind of dust yourself off.
It looks like you meant it the whole time. You escape the crumbling ruin as it tumbles block by block to the floor. It is destroyed.
I don't want to get greedy, but I didn't look back. I never looked back. I fell out the door and I kind of like stumbled and I dusted myself off and I just didn't look back and I just like a good bowler like turning away from a strike.
As well you shouldn't have. It was a strong move.
Is there a path ahead of us?
There is a path out of the forest.
I range the path. Haha.
The path heads to the south.
Is that back to Haven's Garden?
The town you were in before?
Yeah.
That's actually towards the north.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's go south. That way we won't.
Let's just strike out in the new territory.
Clutter this map up.
What was the guy's name on stage again?
Michael.
Yeah. I wonder if we're going to run into some weirdo on the way.
I don't know.
Yeah, if there's any way we. We got no business back in that town, right? Thornvale? That's what it was called,
That's
right?
True. You don't have any business.
To the south, I say.
The south. Adventure.
Karen Broadleaf chimes in. Our war camp is not far from here.
Ah, you know what? I said something a couple adventures ago in a blackout drunk about going to find my father and talking to him.
Very true.
Yeah. Hey, Karen. Karen?
Karen.
Karen Broadleaf?
Karen Broadleaf.
Karen Broadleaf.
No, Karen Broadleaf.
Karen Broadleaf.
Yes. How can I help you?
No, Sharpie, it's pronounced Karen Broadleaf.
It's a subtle dialect.
Broadleaf. Hi.
Let's go back to your camp. Take us to your camp.
Don't you mean your camp? For Lord Butzelot does own it.
Is my dad there?
He should be.
Although I admit I have been a prisoner, and I don't know what's happened recently.
Oh, right. All right, well, lead the way. You'll be much rewarded for aiding the prodigal son on his gestalt.
I don't think you know what that word means, man.
All right. A four-day march. Well, yeah. Okay. So can we just like kind of TiVo through that time, or
I think 3 days pass uneventfully.
Yeah. Whoa.
Okay.
It is before dawn on the fourth day. You are sleeping. I'm rolling perception checks. I guess they're listen checks. My bad. Mulrain, your ears perk up and you wake out of your trance. You don't sleep.
Aren't you a dude?
It's my waking noise. I'm awake.
You hear wolf-like howls off in the distance and a high-pitched, raspy cackling.
Come on, Michael.
Not soon after, you hear the pounding of feet in the grass. Soon you'll be surrounded.
Sharpie!
Quiet. Yeah, well,
awake!
Oh!
I heard noises in the night. Stomps coming this way.
All right.
Unwrap from each other.
I'm the leader. Everybody hide. Quark, wake up.
Huh?
Hide. There's people coming.
I had a terrible dream last night.
I had a dream I was holding 3 balls. But swirling them around in a circle.
But dreams aren't real. I just want my brother back.
No, the house is a monster.
It was Schraub's idea.
I like that movie.
I examined
the oncoming threat.
You don't see anything.
Well, then fuck it. I stop examining it.
You right. Quit. You stop successfully.
Yes. Use your half-elf powers to see the threat and let us know what it is.
I use my half-elf powers to see the threat.
Using your elf eyes, you manage to make out 4 or 5 pairs of legs between the bushes. They seem very close, and they've been watching you.
The legs?
The legs.
Bad news. There are legs, they appear to be close, and they're covered in eyes.
All right. Just because we leveled up, bear with me. Do I have any spells that, so that I don't waste anybody's time? You can make an edit point here, but I'm just wondering, since we leveled up, do I have a spell that might possibly make my voice sound really intimidating?
Do you have a ghost sound on there? I'm not sure.
No.
I guess you don't have it.
All right, well, I'm just going to...
Hey, man, what do you want?
Putting on your best intimidating voice, you attempt to call out the enemies in the darkness. Your attempt sours. They cackle at your pitiful attempt to frighten them and ask what they want.
That was the cutest cackle.
You keep cackling.
Yeah.
What does my hat of disguise do?
You don't know yet.
I put on my hat of disguise.
You feel as if you could become disguised as something.
I disguise myself as eye-covered legs. In a bush.
You fail to disguise.
God damn it.
You can only disguise yourself as a humanoid form.
I disguise myself as something closely resembling the humanoids I see in the bushes.
You didn't see any humanoids in bushes.
I produce my Tanglefoot bag.
You produce your Tanglefoot bag.
I show everybody. Huh? Right?
It's a nice looking Tanglefoot bag.
Thank you. I throw my TFB at the bush.
Throwing your TFB towards the legs, It strikes against the floor before exploding. Tendrils of goo burst forth, wrapping the legs tightly. The creatures are bound.
Cool. God damn it.
I take my my big rage sword and go into a rage and attack with my sword of rage.
Whoa. Charging yourself up in an angry rage and drawing your weapon in one fluid motion, you charge through the bushes at the unknown foes. You strike at the first one you manage to see. You hit it. Slicing right in the shoulder, you hit what appears to be a large hyena. It's standing on two legs. You know this foul beast to be a gnoll. Matted fur covers its hide, and it holds a large axe.
And it's wearing clothes, right?
It's wearing some clothes.
A nice sweater?
Human ones.
It's really fearless, Michael. Really, like
I don't know what I'm doing up here.
Yeah.
You're doing great.
Thanks. No, I'm just saying, like, let it sink in. Man, like see those animals with clothes. This is the work you'd have to do at home. All right.
Yeah, become the gnoll that I just struck in the shoulder. You know, like put yourself, like, become the human clothing clad animal.
I'll make sure there's some, like, rips in it or something just for you guys.
Yeah. Yay!
You hit him for 15 damage and he dies.
Michael, everybody. Thank you, Michael. Uh-oh. Get to work. Right. You got work to do.
Summon monster.
Which monster?
The orangutan.
You summon the spectral orangutan. It shimmers into being. It awaits your command.
Orangutan. Orangutan.
That's more of a gesture.
Orangutan?
Orangutan.
Orangutan.
The orangutan leaps into action. It manages to bite the ear of a gnoll, dealing but one damage to the ear of the gnoll. He leaps back in pain and draws his sword, charging right at the raging barbarian. He strikes a mean blow with his axe.
At me?
At you. But you manage to dodge.
Yeah.
I produce my bow and arrow.
Drawing your bow and arrow swiftly, you knock an arrow.
Does that mean I shoot it?
It means you pull it, like, back as if...
Oh. Well, and then I knock another arrow.
And then you knock another arrow.
And then I shoot those arrows at the bush.
I must remind you that shooting two arrows at once does cause a penalty.
Yes, I saw the little post-it that you left on my paper.
He's like your passive-aggressive roommate.
You can shoot two
mustard
arrows.
Mustard dries. When the cap's not on.
Mustard dries.
One of your arrows hits its mark, and the other flies aside and plants itself into a tree.
And grows an arrow tree on the side of that tree.
You deal 9 damage to his stomach. He recoils in pain, but is not dead yet.
Ghost sound, prestidigitation, dancing lights.
Dancing lights.
Oh, boy, that does not sound... No word in that description sounds dangerous.
I cast dancing lights or whatever the hell.
You summon a personal illusion of your choosing, but small and minuscule.
Right?
Yeah.
So I got some lights going on?
If you want, like, how describe it.
Huh?
If you had magical light-emitting powers, what would you do?
I have dazzling lights that bewilder the eyeballs on the legs of the bush creatures. And they're disoriented, diminishing their power to attack us.
They are a bit dazed, it's true.
Sharpie, do something.
Ray of Frost! Ray of Frost!
Ray of Frost.
I cast Ray of Frost.
Casting Ray of Frost, a ray of frost emits from your hands. It manages to strike the wounded gnoll, freezing him over. He falls to the ground and shatters.
How many more are there?
There's but 2 more.
Shattered gnoll, anyone?
The dazed gnolls attack you.
What?
They're dazed from the illusions. They manage to not hit anything. They bump into each other comically.
Yeah, you guys laughed at dancing lights. You guys laughed at Dancing Lights. Look.
I shoot two arrows.
You manage to shoot two arrows. One of them flies right into the ground. You don't know how it even did that. The other hits the knoll right in the eye.
I mean, did you see that in a movie or something? What are you? You gotta practice that more before you
shooting two arrows.
Yeah, like when has it ever hit two things?
Robin Hood.
No, she not you. You. Up. When have you ever hit two things with two arrows?
Well, dear friend, there was one night when I sat out in my yard all night, and I said I'm going to shoot the two arrows for hours and hours until I can shoot these two trees, and it didn't happen, but I got very close. Ha-ha! Life is an adventure. Take chances.
I throw how many knives am I allowed to throw?
You can throw one at a time.
I'll throw one knife at a time, whatever increases my accuracy.
Pulling a knife from your pack, you throw it at a knoll. You miss.
Shit. I throw another one. No, it's not my turn.
It's not, yeah.
Eh, fuck it.
All right.
Knoll's attack, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah,
me?
Go.
All right. Hypnotism.
Hypnotism.
On one of them.
You can do it on multiple.
Oh.
It fascinates them and makes them like in a dazed stupor. They're entitled to saves, of course. They manage to fail their saves.
Nice.
They're fascinated by your stunning, mesmerizing movements. Perhaps the subtle swaying of your hips. Perhaps. The subtle swing.
Sharpie's a very good dancer.
Of your hips.
Gentlemen. Gentle Knowles. Do I have their attention? Are they listening to me?
They are rapt.
You'll notice your feet are stuck by our tangling bushes.
And dazzled by my dancing lights.
You'll see that two of your friends have already moved beyond into a place I call Butsalotia.
Also, there are arrows on the ground. Feel free to take them. They are our gifts to you.
The first of you to kill the other will join me forever by my side as my faithful companion. The other will go straight to a place where your face will be fitted with a custom-sized wooden box full of spiders.
As you are instructing them to do a very odd task, they're entitled to a second save, which they fail. They fight to the death in front of you.
I turn my back. I do the same thing as I did in the collapsing cigarette. I just walk away, dusting my shoulders off. I don't even know if I had more dust, but I just walk away.
You hear the noises of gnolls ripping each other apart.
I just look at a tree. What is that, deciduous or?
It's evergreen.
It's a beautiful forest.
What happened?
Well, I mean, I guess you guys are looking, huh? He's the only one not looking.
I watched the fight and see what's the outcome.
The smaller, scrappier gnoll managed to rip the throat out of the other one right before having his eyes gouged out by the still beating heart of the dead thing.
A Heath Ledgerdom.
Now, do I honor your agreement with him, or should I go kill the other? Should I go kill the other one?
Oh no, yeah, no. When he wakes up, he's gonna try to kill us.
Okay, I attack with flaming sword.
You attack with flaming sword. You strike the gnoll in the chest.
Wait, don't make it sound so minimal.
In the chest!
Yes.
I mean, yeah, the heart's in there. It's
right in his abdominal.
Gnolls are like people, right? They got their vitals are in the chest, right?
It's a great place to hit someone.
Huh?
I shoot
one arrow.
As you strike the corpse with your sword, so too an arrow flies. Arrow flies and misses.
That's your arc, is learning to shoot one arrow. That's your character arc.
Are all the gnolls dead now?
All the gnolls are dead.
We did it!
Yay!
Wow. Thank you.
Now what?
Loot their bodies.
Huh?
Loot their bodies.
I rummage through the remains of the dead gnolls.
You only managed to find a few coins.
You made that sound sexy. You made getting hit in the chest sound like nothing.
You only managed to find a few coins. I don't know what sexy is, you guys.
We should pause our campaign there and give Spencer his due in applause for him.
Spencer!
And now we should enter that vital chapter of our show where we try to figure out how to end the show. All right, clearly, let's hear it for Aaron McGathy.
Thank you.
Aaron McGathy, little baby. Dan, you asked me on the way here to on the fly download the karaoke version of Magic Dance from Labyrinth.
Yes.
Do you feel that now, after what we've gone through, after our investigation of the film, your immersion into the character of Jareth, that you... without any help, but
no, because we opened the show with that song, and I couldn't fucking do it.
But you had the assistance of the actual lyrics there. Do you think now that you've got, I mean, that's certainly walking without a tightrope, without a net.
You remind me of the babe.
What babe?
But you do.
What I do? What
you do? The babe.
You do.
Remind me of the babe. Some baby cries. How baby can cry? Do do do. My love, baby, left up, baby, dry. What could I do? No one can tell my baby what to do. Dances and fairies and magic coming through. Everybody's lightning sucking on your shoe. Dance, magic, dance. Jump, baby, jump. Jump, jump. Jump, baby, jump. Labyrinth, baby, labyrinth. Baby, labyrinth, dance. Magic, dance. Go through the dance. I saw my baby going through a labyrinth. What could I do? She asked a caterpillar which way that she should go. He said left. Go left. What kind of world could make you try to go right? A little labyrinth world. Oh, what kind of... Baby, where can you go to
make never magic snails
and make a
dog
magic world? Magic, magic, dance, magic. Dance, magic, dance. World, magic world, magic dance.
Thank you for coming to Harmon Town tonight, dance. Everybody.
Jump, damn it,
thank
jump.
You to Spencer,
jump,
our dungeon master,
jump, magic jump.
Thank you to all the beautiful crew here at Meltdown. Thank you, first and foremost, to all of you who dressed up as Jareth tonight.
What kind of world?
We're all going to go get fucked up as Jareth in the drawing room. What I want to thank Katie Levine, Zach McKeever, Emily Gordon, Daniel
dance.
Kramer, Justin Marshall, Mo Fathabat, Jenny
dance.
Fine. Sharoo Shakoop,
Chuckett,
how do you fucking say
dance,
that name? It doesn't
dance.
Matter. I'm Jeff Davis, Dan Harmon,
Jim
your mayor,
Henson,
your goblin
dance.
King.
Dance, Jim Henson, dance. Dance him, dance. Jim Henson, dance. Dance, magic, dance, magic world. Magic world. At 13 o'clock, you'll be mine, little baby. Because of the rules I made up arbitrarily. Because you caused the whole thing to happen, like in Bug's Life. Which was also poorly structured. And equally revered by the weak-minded. It was the Goodwill Hunting of bug movies. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you, audience. Fuck you, audience. Fuck you.
Don't forget, fuck Monster you, House is available on DVD.
Get it at any Albertsons next to the Wrigley gum.
Oh, thank you, John Carpenter, for coming.
Thank you, John Carpenter. I saw my baby with a dick as big as a dance magic. Wait. Oh.
Turn around.
Dance, magic dance. Dueling Bowies.
Every Muppet dance, every Muppet dance in the magic, in the magic. Dance, Jerris dance, all the Jerris dance up on stage, the magic stage. Dance, Muppet dance, 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 Muppet dance. Oh, shit, the, oh.
Dance, all right, you're not allowed to leave Muppet, now. This is just going to get weird and fucking Muppet freaky.
Dance, Muppet dance.
Everybody rub cod pieces. Wait. Rub your cod pieces together, everybody.
Guys.
Come on. I got it. Cod piece bump. Cod piece grinds. I don't care if you don't got one.
Here comes the funky rap bridge from Black Gareth. Gareth.
Well, I was walking down the labyrinth street one day, and I saw some kid who said, hey, hey, hey. That wasn't him. That was me.
he waved it off. Another heroic move.
Dance, magic.
Yeah,
magic, penis,
a special
dance.
Shout out to our only Black Jareth. I mean, maybe the only Black Jareth that anyone's ever known of. Please post your pictures, everybody. I want to see these tomorrow. Thanks for coming.